Greetings in the name of Christ. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you a warm welcome today from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. Our preacher today is our circuit superintendent, Reverend Derek Grimshaw, as we hear about the disciples going fishing and then meeting Jesus on the beach. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And will you join me now in our call to worship? Your parts are on the screen in white. We're here today because the weeping Mary once said, "I've seen the Lord." We're here because Jesus still comes into our locked spaces and says, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." We're here like doubting Thomas, who finally cried, "My Lord and my God." We're here like Peter, tempted to forget the call of Jesus, "I'm going fishing." We're here this morning because of Jesus, who asks us face to face, "Do you truly love me?" We gather here to whisper timidly, "Yes, Lord, you know that we love you." We're here as a congregation only because many faithful disciples have listened to Jesus' words, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Jesus has been raised." So we're going to begin with an Easter hymn, "Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing." It's number 297. "He comes to bring good news to this and every age."
Christ is alive, let Christians sing. The cross stands empty to the sky. Let streets and homes with praises ring. Love drowned in death shall never die. Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving, healing here and now, and touching every place and time. In every insult, rift and war, where colour, scorn or wealth divide, Christ suffers still, yet loves the more, and lives where even hope has died. Women and men in age and youth can feel the Spirit hear the call, and find the way, the life, the truth, revealed in Jesus, freed for all. Christ is alive and comes to bring good news to this and every age, till earth and sky and ocean ring with joy, with justice, love and praise.
Let us come before God in prayer. God of victory over death, your Son revealed himself again and again and convinced his followers of his glorious resurrection. Grant that we may know his risen presence, in love, obediently feed his sheep, and care for the lambs of his flock, until we join the hosts of heaven in worshipping you and praising him who is worthy of blessing and honour, glory and power, for ever and ever. And yet in the light of your glory we see the evil we have done, the suffering we have caused, the good we have refused, and the truth we have denied. Heal us of our sin, wash us in your mercy, and feed us with your grace, so that we may follow your way and tell the good news of the gospel. Amen. And hear the good news. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Reading our scripture for us today is Chris Rogers, and she is a steward at Chantry Methodist Church.
The reading is from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Is it the Lord?" As soon as Simon Peter heard them say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Thanks be to God.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be with you today, whether you're watching this in the comfort of your own home, or if you're in church and watching in community, it's good to be with you. I'm sorry that I can't be with you in person. I've been thinking during the last few days about an experience we had in our family at Christmas 1997. I do realise that we've just come through Easter, so thinking about Christmas seems a bit odd. But we'd experienced a lovely Christmas, and we arrived at Boxing Day morning. And first thing, Boxing Day morning, I was downstairs on my own, and I heard my wife, Karen, coming downstairs, and suddenly I heard her as she fell down the stairs. As it happened, she kicked my youngest daughter, Emma, who was not even 5 at the time, down the stairs in front of them. And they were both in the hall when I went out. And Karen had clearly done serious damage to her left foot. I called an ambulance, and Emma was fine. Children bounce in a way that adults don't. Called an ambulance, and when they arrived, they confirmed that the ankle was broken, and they splinted it and took Karen off in the ambulance. I was left high and dry with 2 little children and didn't know what to do. And that was the start of several weeks of total confusion, because we were trying to live as normal a life as possible with one of us in a state where she could do very little. She had done serious damage to her ankle and had broken it in 3 places, which required a couple of operations to put it right. But I always remember that feeling of total bewilderment. How does life work now all of a sudden? Because the rules that we'd lived comfortably with, they suddenly had changed overnight. We would not have got through, I'm quite certain, if it hadn't have been for a good circle of neighbours, of friends, a church and family. They saw us through that time. But thinking about this feeling of being lost, being bewildered, I think we need to give credit to the early disciples, because we read the gospel story with the benefit of hindsight. We know what's coming next. They didn't. And for them, they suddenly found themselves in this position after Easter, where Jesus had appeared to them. They were comfortable that he was a real person, but he sort of kept appearing, and they didn't quite know when. And so on this particular day that we've heard in the Bible story, they do what people do. They went back to what they know. They knew fishing. They'd been out fishing for most of their lives. And so on this day, they set sail and they go out and fish and are unsuccessful. I think we can possibly relate to that better at the moment than maybe ever before. Because in the spring of 2020, we were journeying through Lent when suddenly the nation was locked down. And nothing worked. In those days, we were finding our feet with digital things and Zoom and the like, and suddenly everything looked different and we had to learn a new way of working. And now 2 years on, things are shifting back to normal. And we're having to relearn again all the things that we used to do in the past. We see from the disciples that they went out and they caught nothing. They had tried to do what they normally did and had been unsuccessful. I've gone through a Holy Week this year, which has had the old-fashioned run of services. I counted them up, and I've been involved in 13 services over 8 days, most of those leading them myself. And that has meant a great deal of preparation. It's meant a very swift mind shift between one service and the next, particularly ones that have followed directly on from each other. And as I arrived at Easter Monday, my intention was to sit down and sort this sermon, and my brain just wasn't up to it. We have now, in just 2 years, got used to a different way of living, and it takes quite a stretch going back to normal. And for the disciples, they've had 3 years with Jesus. Following him as his disciples, they've been learning new things, new skills. They've been hearing different truths. And suddenly, going back is not easy. And we hear how they go out in the boat, but they catch nothing. And Jesus intervenes. And once he intervenes, they pull on board this incredible catch of fish and they haul it ashore. I always find Peter fascinating in this story because Peter appears to be that eager to see Jesus that he jumps out of the boat, doesn't wait for the boat to come ashore. He wants to get back there as quickly as he can. But Jesus recognises that before they can move on, there are issues that need to be resolved. I'm finding the news pretty irritating at the moment. I find it irritating that whilst people were not allowed to attend funerals during 2020, our government appear to be having parties, while people were sitting in the park and being arrested because there were too many of them together, the government were getting away with exactly the same as they were doing. Now, you might have differing views on it, but I think the honourable thing to do is just to say sorry, to admit they were wrong. But all the way through this experience, whether it is Dominic Cummings driving to Durham and then going to Barnet Castle to see if his eyesight was fine, things like that, why don't they just say sorry? And at the moment there is an attitude of, well, there's a war in Ukraine. This is of very little importance with against the backdrop of something so big and so devastating. Why don't we just forget it and move on? But the trouble is, for a lot of people who are hurting over this, forgetting it and moving on is not possible. It needs to be dealt with. I wonder what Peter thought when he looked at Jesus. The Jesus that only a few days earlier, he had denied even knowing. I wonder how he felt as he sat there on the shore of Lake Galilee, eating fish with Christ. And it is Jesus who makes the first move. It is Jesus who wants to put that behind them because he has work for Peter to do. But he needs Peter to understand that he can only move forward if he loves and worships God. He can only move on if he puts this straight. And he doesn't come to Jesus and say, look, I'm sorry, I'll let you down. He might have thought he got away with it in the same way that I think maybe our government think that they'd got away with it. But it's Jesus who broaches the subject. It's Jesus who turns to him and tries to set the record straight. And for us, as we move on from Easter this year, we need to be able to work through the things that are in the past and move forward with Christ into the new world and everything that it offers to us. Thank you for listening. Amen.
Thank you, Derek, for your message to us today. As we think about what it means to move forward after lockdown, what we need to relearn, what we leave behind, and what we need to make amends for. So as Derek said, we each have to admit our mistakes and say sorry before we can move onward. So let's come with humility as we sing together number 419. Almighty God, we come to make confession. Forgive us, Lord, and meet us in our need.
Almighty God, we come to make confession. Help without concern.
Let us pray and bring our concerns now before God. Holy risen one, signs of your resurrection surprise us with their ordinariness. We go about our lives not knowing how to live into the new life you promise. Like the disciples who go back to fishing, we get back to business, all the while in the back of our minds and hearts, we grieve your absence, we miss your presence. And just as we start to think you were just a dream, you show up in a sacred way in the ordinary, grilling fish on the beach, offering a small kindness through a stranger on the street, a simple magic moment with a friend, a tulip blooming in the rain. Help us to remember that everything is different in the living of our lives because of you. As we celebrate new life, we are mindful of the places and people and creatures who suffer in body, mind and spirit. And so we pray for the people of Ukraine and Russia as the war continues. May peace come soon. For the people of Shanghai in the fifth week of total lockdown, suffering illness and a lack of food. For the refugees crossing the English Channel who may face immediate deportation to Rwanda. For those who govern us, and especially this week, for the people of France and the re-elected President Emmanuel Macron. And we pray for a change of heart in companies exploiting their workers and for the work of trade unions trying to uphold good working conditions. In silence now, we pray for those that we care for and are worried about. We pray in the name of Christ, our brother and friend, as we say together the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank those who participated in our worship service today. Chris Rogers for reading our scripture, Reverend Derek Grimshaw for our message, Somerset Mendip Methodist Circuit for our second song, and Frodsham Methodist Church for our final song, and to Neil and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite and Adrian Pell for the rest of our music, and Adrian for our video editing. And it would be lovely to know that you were worshipping with us today. So if you're on the Methodistic website, there's a form above this video where you can type your name, location, and push the red button, and we'll know that you've been here. Next week, Reverend Ian Gardner is our preacher, and we look forward to his message. So with thankful hearts, I encourage you to offer your time, your talent, and your treasure to God, and to support the work of your local church or the work of this circuit. Let us pray. Worthy are you, O God, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing. Receive these gifts of thanksgiving and praise and use them for your glory and the good of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As we move into a bewildering future where the rules have changed, we're going to finish today singing number 476, One More Step, Along the World I Go. From the old things to the new, keep me travelling along with you.
One more step along the world I go. One more step along the world I go. From the old things to the new, keep me travelling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you. Round the corners of the world I turn, more and more about the world I learn. All the new things that I see, you'll be looking at along with me. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you.
Go from here into the future with courage and faith. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.